Hello and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. Once again, I'm Noel Valbon and I'm joined this week by Mike once again. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Noel. Always a pleasure, as you already know.
Good to have you back.
Always available.
Good to have you. Don't put yourself down too much. Lots to talk about this week. We're going to obviously discuss the previous week's games, look forward to the next ones and have our general chit-chat about life as a Spurs fan.
Yep.
So, let's cast our mind back to last Wednesday, our Champions League match against Barcelona. We were all very excited. It ended up being a very exciting game. Not the best start. I just wanted to sort of evaluate the game and evaluate the start. And just for me, if you can tell me how much of an impact you think that mistake by Lloris had on us, and if was that the reason why we lost the game? Would we have lost the game without it?
I have to say that an event like that early in the game against one of the best teams in the world with Messi, one of the best players in the world, it'll be short-sighted of me to think that we can palm it to one side and sort of say, oh yeah, these things happen, that sort of thing. All the planning that Poch must have done for the game and how it spreads out and the events as they happen and would have gone up in the air and landed in a pile of rubbish because of what Lloris decided to do that early in the game. I would imagine that all the Barcelona players would have gone like this, and they're suddenly a foot taller and a foot sharper as well. You know, in the speed that they would have. It's happy days. Mm. Here we go.
It's a classic, like, isn't it? In a big game, you know, you keep it tight for 20 minutes, half an hour.
You know,
because you do have a game plan, like you say. So the reasons for it, because obviously, you know, he's had history of making a few poor decisions for us and for the national team. His kicking has not been amazing. Do you think he was right mentally for that situation, for that game, considering the fact that he obviously had recently the drink driving conviction, hadn't been fit recently? Was Poch right to throw him back in at the deep end for that game? Do you think that was part of the reason why he did that mistake?
Talking about Poch, I think he didn't have much of a choice against that team. Can you imagine what would have happened if he'd brought form in?
Well, Gazzaniga was in form.
Yeah, Gazzaniga's in form, even though he got some bad press from Poch doesn't rate him as a keeper because of his distribution, and that's what Poch wants, you see.
Lloris's distribution is not great at the moment anyway,
That's my point. And so all these things are by the by. I do accept that he was under a lot of pressure through what had happened and what he was planning to do, and I don't think he would have been ready 100% for that game, but because of the injuries and not happy about Gazzaniga to go in, I think Poch made his decision that he's got to play, and that's fair enough. But no excuse. You can't give him an excuse because he's done it before, and we all know that he's going to do it again. That's part of his thing, and he'll do brilliant save, and he saved this in many games. But there's nothing that will get that out of my head. That's firmly in.
Yeah, I was the same. I was the same, and it did take me a while, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you have to forgive and forget. If I was to you know, not forgive French men for their mistakes they've done in life, I wouldn't let my heart bother, you know.
Let's not go down that road.
You have to move on. You know what I mean? So, okay, so apart from that, moving on from obviously the mistake, which was hard to do.
Yeah.
The second goal, not great defending, good finish. Mm. At half time, I was thinking it's going to be 4 or 5. I didn't have much confidence, and I did hope that he would change something. It was a spirited second half performance. The most frustrating thing for me, I think, looking at the game, is that Barcelona obviously did play fantastically well, but we you know, we gave them the opportunities, we made those mistakes, and we also gave them the space. I think that was created, the fact that we were chasing the game for large periods.
That's the point.
So Messi was like dropping deeper, and it was like an acres of space. But when we attacked them, they did look, they did like they were threatened.
We could have
got something out of the game, and that's the most
really
frustrating
could.
Thing for me.
After that second half
performance, we showed them that we could have got something out of the game. We had the players to hurt them, but it just didn't happen in the first half with the mistakes, basically. So it was frustrating. Who else impressed you on the night?
I think Winks was dropped into it, and I didn't see until the second half that he got involved, and I was impressed with his performance in the second half after all the damage he'd been done in the first half. But again, it's another player that was coming back from long injury and stuff. And
he took a while to enter the game.
He did.
It was mentioned, I think, on social media that he actually did benefit from maybe Dier coming on in the second half because a bit more of a calming presence.
Absolutely.
Than Wanyama, who also was on a booking.
Yes.
He didn't play that well, who might have not even been fit. So...
We could say that about most of the players, but I think that the only guy that really sort of stood out for me was actually Moura. His movement and his playing, his abilities on the ball, that they were worried when he got possession.
I thought Lamela, for me, first half was the only one who was trying, and then second half, obviously, he did grab a deflected goal, but I thought he was our best player. Sanchez seems to be struggling in a two. He seems to, distribution wise, doesn't seem to be as comfortable as when he is with next to Vertonghen, or in a three. It's a frustrating situation, isn't it? And Vertonghen is a big loss.
It's a big miss for me. In fact, he's getting very close to Eriksen as being as big a miss. I think we miss Vertonghen as much as we miss Eriksen.
I would agree.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Those two boys make that team in their certain positions. Vertonghen at the back, he organises. He doesn't just do his job. He's a really good organiser. He's a leader back there. And with Eriksen, that's it. When he's on form, he's unplayable.
Yeah.
And plus, he's the supply route,
yeah,
which is why everything breaks down once he gets to midfield and then from midfield to forward. And so until that all comes back together with all these people that are just coming back and out of form and all this type of stuff, at some point, they'll come back together, hopefully. And then once they're back together, then we'll be able to judge about whether we're still at the same place or we're improving. But at the moment, it's like we're constantly putting sticking plasters in different parts of the team where someone's covering someone else and someone's a little bit injured or carrying a knock and just come back. It seems sticking plasters.
So is that highlighting the fact that we didn't sign anyone in the transfer window? I mean, the squad is stretched, and
yes,
it's not normally this stretched at this time of the season. People are blaming it on the World Cup players, but that's the same for most of the big teams. So
yes.
I don't really see that as an excuse.
No, I don't use the World Cup as an excuse.
But to have the amount of players that we did have out for that game at this time of the season was rare. But it's
strange how these things happen. Like at the time when we were complaining about the lack of any signings, we're thinking, but really, yeah, we have got still a great first team, and we still have got an average sort of four or five players after that that can still come in. But we couldn't foresee that all these people were going to get injured. Mm. So it has actually highlighted that if you do stand still, everybody else comes up. You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
So you can see after last year where Chelsea were abject average, now that they've got the new manager, and look, they're ticking and they're going and they're up and they're doing it because they've still got the people on the bench that if they're struggling, which they have done in quite a few games this year, but they come on and they get the equaliser or they get the winner.
Yeah.
When we're looking for something, they've
got more on the bench.
Yes.
Most of the teams have in our sort of rivals in the top six have better attacking options from the bench. I mean, that's obvious. So, yeah. So in terms of qualification, where do you see ourselves now? We obviously, we need to try and beat PSV home and away, and then hope for, obviously, Barcelona to then get 6 points off Inter, and then it will come down to the Inter at home game for us, and that will be on 9 points. So it's going to be a tough ask.
It's going to be a tough ask, and I think that Inter game, it will be about the Inter game. If we're lucky enough to get a draw in Barca, then that would be a major plus. And I think that if we've got our first team back and playing well, I would back us.
By that stage, Barcelona might have qualified.
Yes.
They probably would have qualified.
Yeah.
So it might be like, you know, nothing to them. So there could be an interesting one.
There could be that. But I think that Inter game, assuming that we can do the business against PSV.
Yeah, which is not going to be easy.
Which is not, because they've got a really good, they've got great form at home.
So if we weren't to qualify for the Champions League from the group, would you prefer us to finish third or fourth? Would you want to go into the Europa League and continue with a European season like we have done before?
I would always want to be. I'd always want to go for third.
Okay.
Always go for third. It's a no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer for me. Keep that consistency going, and give no. We all know we're totally punching way above our weight, but that we. If we keep that consistency, people are going to actually take us seriously instead of keep putting us down and stuff and not doing it against Chelsea. They never say anything negative against them, but, oh, look, they're being Spursy and all this type of stuff. You just think we need to put our marker there, and that's it, we're there. And that's we've done that the last three or four seasons.
Okay, so it's time to now move on to our weekend game against Cardiff. A vital 3 points, considering when you're looking back, the rest of the teams performed pretty well. Obviously, the Liverpool-Man City game was absolutely dire yesterday, but the teams around us a little bit more got their 3 points. So it was obviously a frustrating game. People around me, I think, were more... They wanted more from the game, but I mean, I'm always a little bit more of a realist. I'm always a bit more positive maybe than others. I didn't think we played badly. I think it's obviously always difficult playing in those conditions, playing against a team that are going to sit behind the ball, which they did. And even going down to 10 men, I don't think that massively helped us because they still had men behind the ball. So it was hard, I think. Obviously, we are missing Eriksen and Ali. We're missing that sort of connection between midfield and attack.
Yeah,
we're missing
definitely.
The chances being created. But that said, you know, Moura had a chance cleared off the line. Son missed a sitter. You know, there were chances there, even though we didn't play well, and even though, you know, it was bad weather. So, what did you make of the game?
I thought it was a bit of a drudge, you know. It was almost like trying to run through sand. There was nothing easy. We had moments of clarity, as you say, with Moura and with Son and stuff like that. And so, getting the goal early, I thought that's a good thing, and it might settle people down. But it tends to make us take our foot off the pedal a little bit, and I think the thing that we're missing now is that commitment that they showed against us, showing to other teams, because even if it's not working right and we're not doing very well, that non-stop effort and the ability to run and getting in people's faces and stuff like that, I don't think we've got that. That's why our first halves are normally atrocious against most sides this season.
I still think we didn't press them down the width. There wasn't as much width as we would have liked, and you know, obviously we just played with the back four because Vertonghen's out. But I just felt that the rose a little bit in the first half, but Trippier didn't really get forward enough for me. There was not enough. And when you are playing against a team that are going to sit back, then that central defensive area is going to be congested. And we've known this for years. We've had this for years. You know, as Tottenham fans, seeing them struggle against teams who come and sit back against us away and sit back with men behind the ball. The way that we used to combat that was basically with wing backs, because they were able to, like, we had the pace of Rose and Walker, and we were able to then get in behind them.
Yeah.
And that was how we used to combat the fact of playing against these defensive teams. But it seems to be quite difficult now. We still seem to have that difficulty in splitting those teams apart.
Well, it doesn't seem, maybe because of people like Eriksen, we haven't got that same quality in that final third. If we do go down the sides of their box, and so they seem to get there, but we're just not hitting our players that are in there. And so I just think the quality is not there at the moment. And so it makes everything really difficult. I mean, how they kept that ball out from Moura, from that volley.
Yeah, it was good defending.
And how Alderweireld kept that ball out. And there are two things you can't describe it. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
So who else impressed you on the day? I'm going to mention a certain name in a minute that's going to open up a firework of discussion.
Nothing wrong with that.
Who impressed you on the day? What players impressed you and what players didn't impress
improvement
you?
Improvement-wise, even though it's not easy to say, Sissoko was better than he has been, which is a step in the right direction, but I'm not sure how much further than that he can go or what more he can give.
He's very much it's not even like he's a... It's Marmite with Tottenham fans. He's a real strange one. I've never experienced it before as a Tottenham fan to have that much dread when people hear his name on the team sheet, and it's a lack of support. I mean, he got a decent ovation when he went off, but he's so short on confidence, and he's not going to be that attacking player that we want him to be. So and also, in a way, Poch is playing him in the wrong position. He's playing him when he does a 4-2-3-1, and he's playing him as part of that three. That's not his ability. He's not an attacking player. He's not going to cross the ball. He very, very rarely crosses the ball. So he gets in those right positions on the right-hand side of the three, and he just lays it back to Trippier, or he just, like, which is fine. He's a cog in the way we play, and it works. But, you know, people are expecting him when he gets the ball to create some magic. But that's not the type of player he is. And I thought he did well. I was looking at stats. He had the most key passes in the game with 4. His percentage of successful passes was good. But there were still people around me, even before he touched the ball, who were almost wanting for him not to succeed, just so they can be proved right and just so they can be happy. And I hate that. I absolutely hate that. He's putting on a shirt for us. He's putting on a shirt for our club, and he's playing to the best of almost his abilities at the moment, with short on confidence, which is the amount of, like, you know, absolute disgrace he gets on social media. It's amazing he can even turn up and perform like that.
But even with all that said, you know, there's that people are watching the games, and to have that many people, the bigger the amount of people that think the same, they must be seeing the same thing. And so if that many people that are seeing it are complaining because of what they see, there's always going to be some that are going to be on the back of somebody else that's saying it. But we all know what we're sitting in front of the TV, or we're at the ground and we're watching, and we can only go by what we actually see. And that's how we make our judgments. I don't make a judgment before...
But they would have seen him have a good game, be it being played out of a slightly better position.
A better game?
Yeah.
As opposed to what's gone before?
Yeah.
So there has to be a reason, and with social media, there's normally a fallout. I mean, there's no such thing as a gentle fallout. It's always an extreme thing with social media now. So that does take it to a not very nice place, and it can take it to a bad place as well quite easily. So that there's no excuse for that. But if I know, sitting watching football for all these years, I know when there's a player that can do it and a player that can't.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And I'm not saying that I think he should be in our squad even. I definitely don't think he should be in our first team. However, when he plays for us, when he puts on the shirt, one, he should be getting full support from everyone.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone, on and off the field, on social media and on the pitch from the crowd. And then secondly, when he is offering stuff to the team, when he is performing to a decent level, I mean, look at Son at the moment. He's off form.
Yeah, you know, way off, and but he's not getting anything.
No
negative.
Criticism.
Because,
but, and he's being played in his position that he wants to be played in, which is part of the attacking three. Sissoko doesn't want to be playing in that position. Sissoko wants to be in one of the middle two. He wants to be the driving force, which he did. There were a few times where he actually, it was a transitional phase from taking it defence to attack. He ran, he sprinted, he committed defenders, and he laid in Moura, I think, and he laid in Winks a couple of times, and he obviously laid the ball off for Son when Son hit it over the bar. So he's effective. He was effective in that game when other players weren't.
But he's not going to get anything negative because of what's gone before.
I get
we've
that.
We've seen...
Of that course.
We've seen, even if it's for one game, even if we've seen Sissoko man of the match for one game, whatever it is, we've seen the game. And see, now I've seen what he can do.
I think it's become a strange cult thing.
Yeah,
I think it's something strange, and I don't like it.
But
I don't like it.
That's it. But you're never going to see that with Son because we've seen what he's capable of.
Which is...
So that gives him more leeway if he does have a couple of dodgy games where he's been away and played...
Oh, obviously. It's a topic for discussion because do you think he is looking tired? He's short of confidence, obviously. But, you know, again, this week, frustratingly, he's got to travel, I think, back to Greece.
Yes, he's got to go back.
And it's so frustrating.
So he had a lot of things on his mind. Mm. Not only going out there thinking that if we don't win, I'm going to do national service and we won't see him for 2 years or however long it was. So he had a lot of pressure and everything. Mm. So we're only human.
Absolutely.
Some of them are human, but I mean, you know, even the footballers are human and they have likes and dislikes, and that's got to affect what they do on the pitch.
Absolutely.
So you can't argue with the basic human issues there, but that's why that thing with Sissoko is, you know, we've watched all the games that he's played, all of them. And so we know what he can and what he can't do. And so those things are in your head, whether you can't unsee the game, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, but I'm not there expecting him to suddenly just, you know, score a worldie. But I'm still expecting him to perform and, you know, simple passes, yes. Driving forward, yes.
Didn't do it.
Which he did that. So, you know, but there were people there. It was just horrible to see. And I don't know. It should never be a part of of supporting your team. There should never be a negative.
But you shouldn't put him in positions then where he has to make that decision that he can't make.
Well, he'll just lay it off. He just lays it off.
That's it. So,
but that also might come with confidence.
Yeah, well, it might
His
do.
Confidence is shot, you know. If he actually had a run in the team, who knows? Who knows? He has played better before, so. No plan there is us! No plan there is us! So we're talking about the Cardiff game. Kane's positioning. Did you notice that he seemed to be a lot deeper? They did mention it, I think, on Match of the Day as well. Do you think that's something that's come from Poch? Do you think that's something that is because Lucas Moura is in the team? Or do you think that that's something that Kane has tried to add to his game to become more of a creator, because we have Eriksen and Ali out, so he sort of wanted to try and be more of a number 10?
I think it's all of the above. I think it's a bit of everything that you've said. I think that he's shown, thinking that he's brilliant striker, scores all these goals for fun and all this type of stuff, we've seen when he's cut a couple of times before where he comes deep, and he'll hit the best 60-yard ball on someone's toe and stuff like that. So he's got more tools in his cupboard than we give him credit for, even though we give him a lot of credit.
The thing is that we do want him in the box, though, don't we? That's the thing, you know.
Absolutely.
It's all well and good him creating, but then when he's creating to players who aren't necessarily, you know, at that point of finishing and being clinical, then it's just frustrating because it's not going to end have the end product.
That's right.
As we said, Son's off form. And so, I mean, something to mention actually was that actually that came into the news today was that Lucas Moura has been called up to the Brazil squad, which is well deserved, and he was very appreciative of Tottenham for helping with that opportunity. So that's really, really good to hear. Been really impressed with him this season, actually. Really impressed. I think he's obviously, you know, benefited from a full pre-season and some confidence in him. I still feel, though, that he needs to be stronger on the ball. I said it before on the show. I think there were times also on Saturday where we received possession and you know, it's, I don't know if it's faster pace to the French league or, but you don't have that time on the ball. You literally don't. And especially in the middle of the park.
I think that's something that he's got, you know, to learn, because it's the Premiership. And I think even though I saw really good things last year and I was feeling really positive about him, and he hasn't underestimated my opinions on him at all. I see him with that, and his two goals that he scored, where you're either a finisher. So everything that we try and not that we're saying non-positively about Sissoko, about not making a decision when he gets there, he's shown that once he gets round and he's in there, he doesn't mess about. He's like a Solskjaer or something like that. Mm. Bang, it's in the net. He's a quality finisher with it. So he's what he's doing now, because last year was just a learning thing and he wasn't fit and all this type of stuff. Now this is his baptism into the Premier League, to see how good the defenders are and how strong they are and how physical it is. And it's just a matter of time. Once he learns, plus also, look at all the penalties that he could have had in recent games that they're not giving him yet. We could have had more points because of it. And so he's learning, but so are the referees and so are the rest of the team, stuff like that. I think he's an impeccable player, and I'm so happy that he's back in the Brazil side. I don't think anyone else deserves any better. Yeah, I hope that he goes on to bigger and better things.
Nice use of impeccable. I like that. Yes. Impeccable player. Impeccable player.
It's almost like a tongue twister, isn't it?
As it is an international break, we can sort of have a little sit back and we can assess the season so far. It's been quite an interesting one. Obviously, we had the flying start with the three wins, and then we had the poor three losses, and now we seem to have come back with some victories. I mean, the league table now is obviously is quite close. We've got three teams at the top on 20, most of which are being lauded as being flying away with the Premier League. They're all saying that they've got far better squads than us and far better teams than us. But we are actually, even though we're not even in the top four anymore, but we are still only 2 points off top place, and we've had our best ever Premier League start with the injuries that we've had, again having to go back to Wembley, again having the issues that we've had this year with not really knowing what's happening with the stadium. And not buying anyone in the summer. So I think it's a very, very strange position to be in, because we'd normally be really excited, but it just feels like, I mean, we've not even played well. I don't think there's any game that we could have said we've played anywhere near the standard that we've set over the past 3 years or so, with the amount of shots on target that we've had. There's been glimpses. Obviously, the second half against Man United was good, but we played a poor team. Huddersfield in patches. Saturday in very small patches. It just seems to be an interesting situation to be not playing very well, but to still have one of the amount of games that we have, and to be in such a good position after eight games.
Well, it pretty much sums up this game of football, really, doesn't it? You can be brilliant and all winning and unbeatable 1 minute, and the next minute someone from the bottom will come up, and especially the Premiership, there's so many results that come and go, and Watford being second and starting to drop, and all these things. Just, you have to be careful about what you say, because you'll sit in and say, so-and-so's brilliant, so-and-so's brilliant, and then they'll lose form, and then you feel, well, God, I thought it was better than that, and everything. But the bottom line is that we are only 2 points off the top. And so it just seems to me that no one's taken what City did last year, like winning the first 15 games, and they were miles ahead, and they just strolled all the way
in. That was such a poor game yesterday, wasn't it? Oh, my word.
It was just...
The build up to that was in, you know,
it was like watching paint dry, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was horrible.
And the penalty still not come down.
Yeah.
I think it hit Sissoko shot in mid space.
I didn't say that, but you did.
And also just looking at the rest of the league, who's impressed you? For me, Wolves and Bournemouth. But I mean,
Wolves and Bournemouth
are looking absolutely class.
Yeah.
And for a team that have come up,
They've done things. They've got a lovely shape about them, and they know the thing about Wolves is that they know what they've got and what they haven't got. They're not pretending or professing to be something that they're not. Mm. That's when most teams fall down flat on their face. We can beat this, we can beat that, like this, and it falls apart. But if they had a decent striker, say if they had Harry, they'd be top. Now, without a shadow of a doubt, because the defenders know how to defend, keeper knows how to keep. The midfield is the same shape; they play the same way every week. There's no mishing and mashing about. But it seems to be the goal scoring that lets them down because they have. I'm not big on stats at all, but chances to score, I think they're second only to Man City.
Okay.
You see? So chances made, they're good, but it's having someone at the top of it that will finish it off. So they could be in a better position.
I think they're going to be top 10.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be a top 10. They're above, I think, already from looking at them.
Yeah.
They're above the Southamptons and the, you know, the West Hams.
I'm not sure whether a team can come into the Premiership and hold that up like a really high
Bournemouth did it when they first came in, I believe. I think they had a good season. I think obviously it's going to be interesting. We've got a few tough games ahead when we come back, but I think we're in a good place, and hopefully by the time those games come around, then we still have a few more people back from injuries, and fingers crossed.
We've got to keep our commitment. We've got to get that commitment back, because I think those hard games when we come back are going to be quite tough, and tougher than we think when we see how tough the Cardiff game was. Like this, I don't think it's going to get any easier than that. And so it's going to be a while before we get our shape back and the players back that we need and stuff like this. I think it's going to be a hard season, this. It's got that feel about it that we're going to have to really grind out things. And if that's the way we've got to do it to get to where we normally are, then that's the way it's got to be. So if we've got to let go without the way that we close down and whatever we normally do and look good on the break and stuff, then whatever it takes, I don't care.
Time now to look ahead to our next league game, which is obviously quite a while away now, which is against the West Ham.
West Ham, yes.
West Ham fans, they kill me. They literally kill me. They hate us more than we hate them, I think. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just remember going to West Ham away, and it was the whole Lasagna Gate thing, and they were literally just singing at us the whole time. Champions League, you're having a laugh. Mm. They weren't even watching the game. I was just like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So normally we have an opposition fan come on and share their views on supporting their team and obviously the game ahead. We did have a few lined up. One of whom works actually at the pub where we film, the old Pride of Tottenham, which is now called the Blue Coats Pub in Tottenham. But he is not working today, unfortunately. And a few other people that we'd have in line are all flued up at home in bed. So we're going to do the preview ourselves. So Talk about West Ham. They had a very, very poor start. Obviously, they spent quite a bit of money in the summer.
A lot of money.
They bought Yarmolenko, and they bought some. They bought some decent players. They're looking okay on paper, and then they had a horrendous start. Then they had a good victory away at Everton. They then played, obviously, in the League Cup, and they won 8-0. And then they had a decent result against Man United as well. Man United, obviously, are in disarray. So, you know, it's very hard to judge whether that was a great performance or not. But you still have to beat a team in front of you. And then last week, a disappointing performance on their front was losing away at Brighton 1-0. Obviously, Brighton is a hard place to go, but I still think they would have expected to get at least something out of that game. So, what's your been sort of perception of West Ham so far this season?
It's difficult to make an assumption with them because they started badly. Then they were on a bit of a run before the Brighton game. It seemed like they turned the corner, but as you say, that they did spend well, and they seem to have made the change from a slow start to some sort of form. But again, the Brighton game shows that, you know, nothing's constant unless you've got enough about you or enough confidence about you to overcome teams like Brighton and Bournemouth and stuff like that, who are much stronger teams than you give them credit for. But I still think that on their day, their ability to score goals, they've got some quite serious tools to go forward. And so I still don't think their defence is anywhere near consistent enough to do anything to go above, say, 10th or mid-table. I can't see them being any higher than that.
No.
I mean, I'm there to be proved wrong.
The funny thing was, before the Brighton game, they had all of their fans on. Gary Neville was interviewing them before, outside the game, outside the stadium, before the Brighton game, and they were so confident.
Yeah.
So confident suddenly after having these few victories about, you know, finishing top eight. It's like, yeah, that's a top eight strike force we got there. And, you know, and then they go and lose to Brighton, which is hilarious. Our record of them is pretty decent recently.
Yes.
Obviously, we had the cup defeat last year, which year we are now going to be able to get revenge for.
Yeah.
But just the league game, we obviously won there last season. We're reasonably good at them. What would you predict for the scoreline when we go to the West Ham?
I don't see many clean sheets with us at the moment because of the changes and everything. So I'm looking at a 3-1.
3-1?
Yeah, I'm looking at a 3-1 myself because I think that we can still get to them, and because there's so much commitment, they're not going to be shy about coming forward or getting into our faces and stuff. But I think I still think we've got much more quality than they've got. And so if we look at the cold light of day, then it shouldn't be a difficult game. It'll be a hard game, like mentally, but I mean, we've got the tools to do something. They haven't got a cane or anything like that. So I feel quite confident against them.
Okay, I'm going to go for 2-1 again. I think it will be tight, but I think 2-1 seems to be my favourite score prediction, so we'll go for 2-1. Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Mike, for coming along once again.
Great
to have you here.
As always.
And thank you, everyone, for watching this week and listening once again. It's been a pleasure having you here with us. Special thanks goes to some of the Spurs Facebook groups who've been helping to share our podcast and YouTube show. Thank you to Alison and Justin on THFC Today. Thank you to David on the Spurs Army, and thank you to Glory Glory Tottenham Hotspur, and also to the Tottenham Hotspur FC group, Ordre Estre Facere, who is also been sharing our stuff. So thank you to everyone who's been supporting us. As always, we love your feedback and comments, so please do let us know what you think of the show. If you'd like to get involved, then we're also more than welcome to have you on board, either joining us on the sofa here, or we also do have the facility to have you involved on video call. We're available on YouTube and obviously on our Facebook, we are TTILM Show, the Thing I Love Most Show on Instagram as well as Twitter. So please do get in touch, subscribe and like and share, and we will see you in about 10 days' time. We'll see you then. Stop us for the waiting. The thing I love most is me.